Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
Now, you're very welcome back to Lunchtime Live with Kira here on News Talk. 53106 is the text line. And I'm joined now by Dr. Eddie Murphy, clinical psychologist, because every week at this time of a Tuesday, we take your queries, well, Eddie does, on mental well-being. Eddie, you're very welcome.
Good afternoon, Kira. That lady should definitely go for it.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She'd like two pods. And she'd just
exactly.
Join in her pod.
And you know what? If you get a bit of happiness in life, hang on to it with both hands. Isn't that it too? Come here. Loads come in for you already today. Hi, Kieran, Eddie. I'm wondering if I could get some advice on this. I have a 20-year-old son who I feel is suffering with mental health and self-esteem. He's just finished second year in college and is due to go abroad to Erasmus next year. Since COVID, his eating habits are out of control. I've tried to talk to him and I've offered to find help for him, but he shuts down and tells me not to talk about it. I'm very worried about his mental health, but also his heart and other organs. Last night I woke up at 4 a.m. He was downstairs having made pasta and frozen hash browns. He shouted at me to leave him alone. I'm at my wit's end. Should I be locking the kitchen door at night? I know he has been ordering takeaway late at night too after we go to bed. Is there someone he can speak to? He did suffer with depression in fifth year in school, but otherwise is a wise, bright young man.
Is there someone he can speak to? Whether he wants to speak to,
yeah.
That's the concern really. And sometimes this is the hardest thing around. I predict this as a mom, because most often when it comes to men's mental well-being, it's their lovers, girlfriends, moms that generally reach out initially on behalf of men. And I mean, that's right through my clinical practice. You'd see that reaching out. And again, so it's a couple of things really. I would see, sometimes I look around our mental well-being in terms of like a traffic light, Kira. And so you've a red zone, amber zone, green zone. And I see this moving in the amber zone, if that makes sense. And I think the conversation, if you remember previously, I talked about having wise people in people's lives. But this person's out of structure now. They've deregulated, like they're up all night.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're really out of structure. But the mum's voice is rejected, or the adult voice in the house is rejected. So it either needs to be said in a different way, or somebody needs to influence it in a different way. So, for example, it could be that he can connect with somebody that is able to, maybe they're able to get out and get scheduled out time, up time and out time would be one of the ways. Or, I mean, there are counsellors are available and working, GPs are available and working, and they may be doing it by telephone initially, but there's still a service there. In fact, the university, if he's still linked to a university, the university counseling services be still open as well. So it's worth maybe exploring some of those options.
Do you know what I thought about it too? Mm-hmm. And I have a 20-year-old myself, and honest to God, Ed, if I was to lock the kitchen, no, he's not doing any of this stuff, but if I was to lock the kitchen on him, for example, because I didn't like, we'd have war. Like, you can't treat a 20-year-old like a child either. Do you know what I mean?
No, definitely. I wouldn't go around locking the kitchen now.
It struck me that some of what might be happening is he's a grown adult man living at home, and that creates its own difficulties, because he wants to assert himself and maybe get things wrong as well, but she's still treating him like she's his mum and she'll sort him out. Do you know what? Am I getting that wrong?
My
young fellow would go bananas if I did any of this.
It's a very interesting dynamic. If you imagine like a parent, adult, child, okay? And when our kids are young, we're really into parent mode. And actually the conflict that often adults would have with their adult children is that they step into that very high-end parent mode instead of treating them from an adult-to-adult mode. That's when children are in their adulthood. So, for example, even now, probably my parents are listening at home. At times, though, my parents, because they're very caring and they're very loving, but they still be very in parental mode with me. You know what I mean? Sometimes
I do.
It's hard to make that shift. But if you're having these conversations, it's stepping down into the adult mode, saying, and, you know, just to be very practical and support this lady, it's like, I'm worried about you. I'm worried that you're getting up. I'm worried that you've just lost some focus. And it wouldn't necessarily do the labelling around mental health or at the moment.
I felt that
the
might
adjustment.
Be... And you do, I mean, you do parent kids, as it were, differently when they're no longer kids. You try and offer them some kind of a safety net, I think, and a bit of guidance, but you kind of have to let them go a little bit their own way, or else you're, I think, that's my feeling about it anyway. What do I know? But you know what I mean? Can I also ask you, this has come in, Ed, will you please ask anyone, my sleep is so poor during lockdown. Every night I wake up at least 8 times and then I find it very difficult to go back asleep. I'm not using devices before bed. I am keeping to a routine. I am working from home and I exercise usually more than about 10K a day. Don't know what to do.
Well, it seems to be doing that. The only thing I could suggest, think there, is the exercising happening late at night. I'm not sure the age profile of the individual. Sometimes, I think when we read this earlier on, and you know, please get your emails into me and we'll connect with you. If we can't do it this week, we'll obviously do it next week. There was a menopausal component as well.
Could be.
For this lady. And what we wonder, was there a component of menopause around sleep disturbance? Now, in terms of mood changes during menopause, certainly, there's a significant variation in mood, and irritability would be one of the bigger ones. But maybe you could talk about how menopause impacts on sleep there, Kira.
Well, it certainly does. If that's the situation for if it is a woman who's at the menopause, no matter what you do, you can get into difficulty. But that can be addressed through medication or other sort of interventions that are related to menopause and all that too, and that might be something. Could it just be a bad habit the person has fallen into, Ed?
I'm not convinced about a habit. Like, if you're waking 8 times at night, I'd be interested in all. Like, if I was sitting with that person, I'd be trying to figure out, well, what are you thinking? What thoughts are you waking up? What's the feeling? What's the energy levels and the fatigue? Because I mean, she seems to be doing lots of it right. Eating, exercise, focus, not worried about COVID. I would just wonder about is exercise happening late at night time, because late night exercise can impact on sleep.
Yeah, it can certainly give you loads of adrenaline and make you feel full of energy, which is not exactly what you want. Eddie, this is coming on text. It says, I was hoping you'd ask Ed about mental health during pregnancy. I have OCD and take sertraline. I'm great at the moment, but I worry when I get pregnant that might deteriorate. I'd love to know what his opinion is based on past experience. I've been on sertraline, which is an SSRI, for 20 years. I'm trying to reduce it, but I can't see myself going off it totally. And I worry about the implications of the drug. Thanks a million.
So from the drug point of view, clinical psychologists, we don't get into the medication side of it. So it's really important to go back to your prescriber and link in, and your pharmacist as well, just get some information around the drug. If you're worried about the drug impact, the OCD is in the anxiety-based problems. And it depends, really. I mean, it's normal for maternal anxiety to increase over the time of pregnancy up to the time of birth. So I would say it's having a plan in place post-birth, pre-birth, around managing your anxiety and worrying, and connecting particularly with your prescribers around your medication.
Okay. I'll step in to the medication end of it briefly.
Yeah. And just say,
It totally is. Yeah. A lot of people would be on an SSRI in pregnancy and during pregnancy. You'd have to discuss whether or not you'd stay on the one you're on or on a slightly different one. But that's a conversation to have as an individual with your GP. But there are many people who, on balance, stay on the medication. Sometimes they taper towards the end of pregnancy, sometimes they don't. But all of that can be addressed. So she doesn't need to worry, because there's a well-worn path here for people who have been on antidepressants or anti-anxiety medication and then are pregnant.
And the other piece then is to put in a good self-care and psychological package as well, so that what are the features of your OCD? Can you start moving towards impacting on the obsessional thinking or the compulsive behaviour? And that would be a good way to manage that as well.
Look, thank you for that as ever, Eddie. Dr. Eddie Murphy will be back with me next Tuesday answering your queries. You can send them to us by email as well if you want to get them in advance to lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. We're nearly out of time, but loads of texts coming in for that lady who was 73 and has been apart from her partner for months at this stage and is afraid about perhaps being intimate with him when they re-meet. Kira, I think this fabulous lady should follow her happiness. She has suffered for 40 years. I'm 41 years old and my husband hasn't come near me in months, emotionally or physically. My husband says I am fat and I am suffering. That's terribly sad and is also abusive, and no one needs to put up with that crap, to be honest. But anyway, I do agree with you. That lovely lady in her 70s, go for it. Take your happiness, grab it with both hands and run with it. And I'll leave you with this last one. A tweet has come in, says, Ciara, the over 70s have gone wild since that bleeding normal people came out. I am outraged. Yeah, I'd say you are. Look, thanks to everyone who took part today. My thanks to the team, as ever, senior producer Claire Darmody, Michael Quilligan on sound, Ross Leahy and Emma Cawley as well. What are we today? Wednesday, Tuesday. I'm not here tomorrow. That's what's actually happening. Someone else is in the chair. Is it Susan? Susan Keogh is in the chair for me. Have a wonderful sunny afternoon. Grab your happiness with both hands, wherever your happiness you find it to be. And I'll talk to you on Thursday. You guys are great.
Lunchtime Live with Ciara Kelly on News Talk.